Good evening. It's good to see all of you here tonight. We look forward to hearing our brother Ray share some of the testimonies of his life and his thoughts. We know that the Lord will put upon his mind those things that we need to hear. Our scripture reading that for this evening comes from the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah, which says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And so he calls each of us saints, and not only us, but all of those in the world, to come to this feast, where we, without price, can partake, and we can be satisfied. So many times we choose those things that at least seem satisfying, but are only temporarily satisfying. But the Lord, He provides that which will give us peace and rest and fill us that we want not. We will continue on by standing and singing hymn number 362, and then afterwards our brother Bill will bring the invocation.
Gracious and Holy Father, we are truly so thankful for that love of your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ. towards us individually, Father, for our remembrance of that suffering that He was willing to endure for each of us, that we might have that life eternal. Father, we thank Thee for Your blessing of this house and for the blessing of all Your children, Father, for the many gifts and blessings that are ours to enjoy. We do ask, Father, that You be with us this night, that Your Holy Spirit might abound, that You might give utterance to our brother Ray, that his words would be Your words to Your children, that we truly might be all united in that one as heart and mind for Your purposes, dear God, that we might be Your valiant and faithful witnesses and testimony of Jesus Christ in our life. So we pray, Father, that You attend us. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Scripture tonight is taken from the 7th chapter of the book of Alma, which just happened to be the theme for this week. And I want to read to you from the 13th verse. Behold, now I say unto you that He commandeth you to repent. And except you repent, you can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God.
We'll sing, Let Us Shake Off the Coals from Our Garments. That's either 581 or 583 in your hymnal. Thank you.
Good evening. It is great to have the opportunity to come and to worship with you tonight. And haven't done this for a while. It's been a couple of years, actually. And in fact, I was invited to speak at another congregation recently, and I turned them down, which is something I don't normally do. But I've talked to some of you in the past about this just doesn't work quite like it always has. And I used to just write a few words on a sheet of paper just to remind me of something different, and I didn't use a whole lot of notes. But now I have to use some notes, and half the time I can't read them. So bear with me. Another thing I always ask is you know, back in the old days when I used to teach a class, well, I'd have to write some on the board, and I asked for spelling amnesty because I wasn't necessarily the best speller, but you could tell what the word was. It just might not have been spelled right. And so if I pronounce some of these Book of Mormon names and you don't think that's the way it ought to be said, well, give me amnesty, will you? Just forgive me and get the point of what is going on. But and you have to go back and forth a little bit, you know, when you're reading the seventh chapter of Alma about what's going on with him and Amulek. And Alma had been preaching in Amnaha, and that's one that's close, and nobody's listening. And in fact, they say, you know, just one of you people, and you tell us that that God is going to wipe us out in a moment. You know, you're just one guy. Can't do that. So Alma, he's been praying and fasting about that. And he had given up on the people of Amnaha. And he had been praying and fasting for 3 days. And there was this fellow by the name of Amulek. Now, Amulek was pretty, he wasn't what you would call an average person. He was up above. He had a little clout. He had a few bucks in his pocket. They called them C-nows and a bunch of other things back in those days, which I, forgive me for maybe, but their money was different. And the Lord had told Amulek that this person would come, and that he needed to help him. You know, and this is kind of like the Good Samaritan, only a little different, because Amulek, when Alma came to him, he took him home, and he actually lived with him for a while, and after Amulek hearing Alma's testimony and his talking to him about the Lord, he became converted and believed what Alma was preaching about. So him and Alma, in the seventh chapter, him and Alma are going out preaching, and they're returning to Amnaha. And the people are still not listening. And he's saying, do you not remember that our father Lehi was brought out of Jerusalem by the hand of God? Do you not remember that they were all led by him through the wilderness? And have you forgotten so soon how many times he delivered our fathers out of the hands of their enemies and preserved them from being destroyed, even by the hands of their own brethren? Yea, if had not have been for his matchless power and his mercy and his long-suffering toward us, we would have unavoidably have been cut off from the face of the earth long before this period of time, and perhaps been consigned to a state of endless misery and woe. And then the scripture that I read to you, behold, now I say unto you that he commandeth you to repent, and except you repent, you can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. And so, you know, we've been talking about Zion for a long time. And in fact, you've heard my testimony of the Lord calling me to Zion. And I've had not a whole bundle of inspired the Lord, with the Lord speaking, I believe the Lord speaking to me. But in this last couple of years, my road has been a little rocky. And for many of you during the COVID time, it's been a little rough for you too. And there's been times when I've asked myself, were you hallucinating? You know, did the Lord really speak to you? You know, and I think that happens to us a lot of times when we start, when things start going south on us, we say, well, why am I doing this anyway? Who cares? And, but I can't deny it. I cannot deny the experiences that I've had with the Lord. From time to time. And I've told you about before the testimony about a dream that I had, and I don't. It's probably the closest thing that I ever had to a spiritual dream. But it was shortly before my brother-in-law passed away, and we were going to head out to Washington State and for his memorial service. And one night I had this dream. And there were a bunch of people who were gathered at what I'm assuming was a memorial service. And there was this, I don't know what you call them, a mariachi van or whatever. They were dark-skinned guys with banjos and drums. And they were singing this song. And it was called, and I'm not a soloist either, but forgive me. For trying. But anyway, it went, cherish, cherish, cherish the footsteps on your soul. And I had not been asked to say anything at my brother-in-law's memorial service. But at the last minute, of course, they all know that I'm some kind of preacher. The guy who was assigned to do that part of the service asked me if I would take part in the service. And then it became clear to me why I had had that experience with the Lord. And of course, the guy who was going to lead the service, he was actually a chaplain at a fire station. And he wanted to know what I believed about God. You know, well, how do you, you know, we got 5 minutes. how do you explain what you believe about God in 5 minutes? And that, but anyway, I told him what I believed about God, that he was an unchangeable God. He was the same God yesterday and today and forever. And then I went to, Tom mentioned it, so several people have mentioned the two great commandments, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, might, mind, and strength. And the second one is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so that fulfilled the bill for at the time. And during that memorial service, I attempted poorly, like I did with you, and I told them, you know, I tried to sing the verse as best as I could, and that my brother-in-law had left footprints on each of our souls, and he was a pretty rough character, actually. My kids are here. Thank you, my people that I love very, very much. He was kind of a, and they can testify. He liked to have fun. He joked a lot, and my sister's she's just a little gal. She's probably 5'3", 5'4", maybe weighs 120, 130 pounds when she's heavy. And he used to call her Fats. And that really bothered Noni. Noni just thought that was the most terrible thing that he could do, because she wasn't anywhere close to being fat. But that was kind of a nickname that he had pinned on her. But he was the kind of guy that he was always happy and just a little rough around the edges. And I'd known him since we were both in high school. And so he had definitely made a footprint in my life. And so I began to think this last week about all the people who have made a footprint, and some of them have made them and went like that, where you'll never forget. And first of all, Jesus Christ and his Father, God, have made a footprint on my soul. And that's the thing, one of the things that keeps me going. And in my patriarchal blessing, I'm told that I have a faith that's not given to me by earthly parentage, but is given to me from above. And I don't fully understand that all the time, but I've been in some pretty tough situations in my life where that has been very comforting and has helped me through a lot of difficult situations. But I thought of that. And, of course, my wife, Noni, and I probably shouldn't mention her because it's difficult, but she definitely made a footprint on my soul. Yeah. There's no way I can explain that, that you can understand unless you've gone through it. And some of you have, and some of you are going through it. And Noni's dad, you know, I grew up in a pretty, didn't have to be, because my dad always made a fairly good income, but he wasn't very wise. And I was just thinking, you know, my whole life, my dad never told me he loved me. I never heard those words come from him. And the only time I heard them from my mom is that when I was maybe getting a spanking, and the only reason I'm doing this is because I love you, you know. And we never exchanged those words. I was 50 years old before I told my mother I loved her. And she told me she loved me. That was the first time I'd ever heard her say that out. I knew that she was very proud of me, but she never said those words. And so from that time on until she passed, we always started and ended our conversations with "I love you," and she responded. So, you know, and I grew up there with my dad had an eighth grade education. My mom dropped out. Some teacher said something to her when she was a sophomore in high school, and it upset her. She threw the book at the teacher and walked out and never went back to school. So schooling wasn't a very big thing in our family. My older brother, he dropped out of school when he was probably about a sophomore. He went to work out out away from home when he was 16. He lied about his age, and he was big enough that the people didn't question him. And so when I graduated from high school, it was really a big thing because I was the first one. Nobody had done that. You know, and I know what it's like to cut out cardboard and put it in your shoes so you're not walking on bare ground. And in the wintertime, when those got wet, they don't last very long. And when you were, some of you that knew my wife and had been to our house around Christmas time knows that Christmas was a big deal. In her family, Christmas was everything. Everything was decorated everywhere. She loved to decorate, and she loved the Lord so much. And but anyway, in my growing up, when you were old enough that you knew there was no Santa Claus, Christmas was over. And I remember one time when I was in the eighth grade, we came back from winter, for our winter vacation, and the shop teacher went around the room and wanted each kid to talk about what their Christmas was like. And you can't begin to believe what a burden that was, because I didn't have no Christmas. And I had one of my cousins gave me a pair of shoes. And I mean, they weren't worn out by any means, but they still looked pretty good, and they were Brogans, and that was a big, everybody had to have Brogans in that day, so that was kind of cool. So I showed my worn shoes, and that's what I got for Christmas. And so he gives you, I'm not what I should be, but I ain't what I used to be. You know, you've heard that a lot of times. And I have to say that the Lord has been good to me and has blessed me even when I wasn't worth it, or I didn't feel like I was worth it, or I was blessed beyond belief. And although, you know, and you and me, and I'm sure that we all do it from time to time, don't recognize or realize how much the Lord is blessing us. You know, we just go along from day to day doing whatever it is that our task is, and we don't really consider that the conditions that we're living in we are being blessed. We don't always recognize that. We do recognize that when we're having a hard time. We recognize hard times, but we don't always recognize the blessings that we're getting from day to day. There was a young man. His name was Eldon Dobson. He was, you know, and I hadn't really thought of him that much as being someone who made a footprint on my soul. But he's the one who invited me to a youth camp. And those are the ones I'm going to be mentioning, the people that actually changed my life that were part of this restoration movement. Now, all of you have made a footprint on my life. Some of you people here in the front row have made a tremendous footprint in my life. But Eldon, he's the one that introduced me really to the gospel. Introduced to me some good looking women and the gospel. And that part of it, I was at the youth camp for that one week, and I was on the Saturday. I was baptized. And there again, the Lord was working in my life when I really wasn't aware of it. And Eldon, later on, He married a girl from a neighboring city, and they had lots of troubles, and he died a very young man, but he introduced me to this gospel. And I can see that he was a very strong part in what I ended up being. Noni's dad was, he was my dad. And him and I told each other we loved each other. I was the boy that he didn't have. He had four girls. And so I was the boy that he didn't have, and I loved him like a dad. He was a fantastic person. When I say he was a fantastic person, I don't mean he was intelligent beyond belief or anything. He was a hard-working, honest person, and his word was his bond. If he said he would do something, he would do it. So there was one incident that I remember very strongly, that a person whose property joined his property on the back, I believe it was a 10-acre piece of ground back there that joined these people's property, and they asked him what he if he would sell it, and he said, "Yeah, he would sell it," he gave them a price, and it was several years later, when the person came to tell him that they wanted to go ahead and buy it, and the property had probably doubled in price on the market. But he told them he would sell them for X dollars, and that's what he did, because he had told them that. I used to work with him with clearing ground. I mean, he was just unbelievable. He worked, like I said, he worked hard. He knew how to blow stumps, I'll tell you that. So we'd auger down underneath the stump and plant dynamite underneath there, and we'd get off in some place in the clear and then blow that stump everywhere. After I bought a piece of property years later, I did that. Sometimes I kind of overloaded it. And I couldn't find the pieces of the stump after after it went off, but usually we'd just blow the stump and then you could come in, the bulldozer could take the what was left out of there. But he didn't tell me nothing. He showed me how to be a dad, how to be a father. And so I owe that to him. Another person in the church that left a big footprint in my soul, and some of you know him, and some of you heard of him, is Brother Henry Schaefer. And Henry, when we were preparing to take the kids up for a historical trip, we went to Kirtland, we went to Palmyra, we went to all of the church history places. And when Brother Bob preached here a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about Joseph in the grove, when after he had read, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God," and then he read Joseph's testimony of what happened to him when he was in the grove, as we went to the grove, we had a service there, Henry had never been to Kirtland. He had never been to any of those sites up there, and he had to be, in the preparation for going up there, he didn't drive anymore, and he came to my house for about a six-month period. Once a week, I'd go pick him up at his house, take him to my house, and he would talk to the kids, and then we'd get in the car and come back, and I've shared that testimony before. I always felt when Henry was in my car that there was a third person there. I mean, the spirit was so powerful. And we were with him for 9 days, and he shared every evening with somebody in a different congregation and never shared the same thing twice. and he did, that just poured out of him. And he definitely made a footprint on my life that encouraged me and helped me to build my faith and my strength in the Lord. Another patriarch evangelist that had a big impact. I mean, he was at every youth camp that I went to, whether I went as a camper or whether I went as a counselor, he was there, and he gave me my patriarchal blessing. And truly a man of God. I share a little testimony of Mark. His daughter had gotten into in an accident, a serious accident. She was hurt very, very bad. Didn't know if she was going to recover or not. And he went down to the chapel to pray for his daughter. And the Lord told him, because of his service and because of his loyalty to God, that his daughter would recover. And she did. And another one that left, some of you may know or heard of, was a guy by the name of Luke Troyer. Now, I didn't, I knew Luke, and I had went on some visits with him from time to time. But one of the things that impressed me about Luke was when somebody called him to do an administration, he always went and took a bath and put on clean clothes before he would go and administer to someone. And talk about humility. He was a very humble man. And there's been many more people in my life that I've been blessed by. And these were people that I've talked about that actually made me change my life. They had that much effect on me to make me sit up and listen. And every one of you have made a footprint on my life. I won't forget you. I mean, this is my, I think, fourth congregation I've gone to, and there's people in all of those congregations that I still love. In fact, there's a few people that Noni and I, we consider them our own kids, you know, because, I mean, they were young people coming up. I remember when I had the opportunity to receive the call for Danny Schwartz, and some of you guys know Danny. Just a humble young man. But we were having a problem in the branch that I was concerned about. And most of you are probably aware of the situation that happened up in Cartland where this guy murdered a whole family and buried them in a barn. This person, well, he was actually the one who turned them in, but he was coming out to Belton, and his boys were at the age where they needed to be baptized. They were able to be baptized, and so he baptized them in water, and the pastor at the time, Dan Elliott, did the confirmation, him and someone else. And the question then was because of what had happened previously, that him being a part of that group, that was the baptism legal? And I did some research on it, and I think in 120 or 122, somewhere in there, it talks about situations about silencing different people. And if you haven't been officially silenced, you still have authority. And I felt like that the Lord gave me that information, that not only where it was their baptism, a legal baptism, but that we owed that family an apology. And at the same time, he said, and I've called Dan Schwartz to the office of elder. And I've got that written in a book. Back in those days when I had a schedule and a daily planner, I still got that page out of that daily, out of that planner when I received the call for Danny Schwartz to the office of elder. And he's the pastor down there now, and he's been the pastor for several different times and years, and unquestionable about his belief and desire to serve the people. He's done an outstanding job, and has you know, and some of us that have been pastors, we have received calls to different men in the priesthood, and they didn't turn out. But, you know, they had kind of went different ways. But that doesn't mean they didn't have a call. We were all baptized and we received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And if our lives change somehow that it doesn't represent the Lord, doesn't mean you didn't get the gift. It's how you use the gift. And it's the same way with the priesthood call. If men have received the priesthood call, and God has put that ordination on them, and how they use it is what makes the difference. You know, that we know men who have rose to heights in the church, and then in later years, for some reason or other, have denied that. And it doesn't mean that they were not called to that office. What they did with it and how they were influenced and what changed their life is what made the difference. So, there were many others, like I said, who have really made an influence on our lives. But picking up where Tom talked about this morning, and Tom, I really appreciated, even, you know, in fact, I was talking with Neil Sherman a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking about it. I kind of dreaded this last week, and most of you who've stood up here to try to deliver the Lord's message knows what that week before is like. You know, Satan is alive and well, and he would do anything to distract. And so Neil was preaching that evening. I wasn't aware of it, but he told me about the week that he had before that, and it was a disaster. And I had, this week was a similar week to that. I mean, I had stuff that wasn't quite disastrous, but it was stressful and strenuous, and it's stuff that wouldn't go. You couldn't just put it on the back shelf and forget it. It just kept coming up, and it was just little stuff that insignificant at all, but nevertheless occupied your time. And Tom said that he was busy all week and didn't have time to make preparation that he would like to make, you know. And that's just the kind of stuff that, If you haven't stood up here and occupied this pulpit, you may not be aware of that. But so many times, at least the week before you have to have the opportunity to get up here, strenuous things can happen in your life that kind of tries to draw you away from your communication with the Lord. And the Lord has, you know, I've said over and over again about the hymn book. Our hymns are the fourth book of Scripture. And this week, on top of the stress that's been there, the Lord has put hymns, verses of hymns in my mind. And, you know, I jotted them down. Some of them were maybe a verse or a line or part of it. And most of them were the title of the song also. And one of them that I talked to Patty earlier in the week, and one of them was "Unto God Who Knows Our Every Weakness." With faith, we lift our hearts in prayer, asking in humility and meekness for His love, His direction, and His care. In these latter days, with songs of praise, we all must help to spread the gospel story, our every deed from sin be freed, till Zion we redeem. And that was the first direction that I felt like that I received. And the scripture that goes along with that is from Ether 5:28. "I give unto men weakness, that they may become humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me and have faith in me. Then will I make weak things become strong unto them." And in Doctrine and Covenants 81:3 AMB. "And again I say unto you, I give unto you a new commandment, that you may understand my will concerning you. Or in other words, I give unto you directions in how you may act before me, that it may turn to you for your salvation." And the next part of that really wasn't in there, but it's a scripture that we've had on our refrigerator for years. "I, the Lord, am bound when you do what I say, but when you do not what I say, you have no promise." So it kind of leads you to believe that when the Lord speaks, you ought to listen. Doctrine and Covenants 132:3b, "And all should consecrate of their talents, abilities, and substance for the prosecution of this great work." And in that hymn, it says that we all must help to spread the gospel story. That doesn't mean just the priesthood or those people who stand up here. It means all of us have the responsibility to tell the gospel story. And the other one is, of course, "I love to tell the story. I love to tell the story to those who know it best, because they seem hungering and thirsting to know it like the rest." Isn't that true? Haven't you felt that in your life, that when you share I can remember in my work days when a couple of different groups that I took part in at lunchtime, we would get together and start sharing testimonies. And they weren't restoration people. They were just people who believed in the Lord. And we would get, pretty excited about the Spirit of the Lord, you know. Just last night, I had a book sitting there on my nightstand by Elbert A. Smith, and talked about our beliefs. And I kind of went to the last chapter in that book, and it talked about an unchangeable God, and it talked about the belief of the Mormon Church had that Adam was God, and we all had a chance to do. We could all end up with our own harem, and I may be adding a little on the fringes there, but anyway, that's how things have evolved, and we believe in an unchangeable God, and we believe in this country. Most of us believe in the country. I'm proud to be an American, and I'm proud of the history of this country, and I'm proud that I'm not a white supremacist. I don't, I just, if we get caught up in that and the media and you begin to wonder, where are we going as a country? What's happening to us? And This song, "Hast Thou Heard It, O My Brother?" God's eternal voice to thee, softly calling toward the woodland, toward the outland where his Zion yet shall be. Something for you, go and find it. Brave the uncharted sea, where beyond the seen horizon lies the land of promise free. Trust in the Lord in Psalms 37, 3 and 4. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. He shall give thee the desires of your heart. How many times have you, if you stop back and think about how your life has gone, and how many times the Lord has come through. He has been there. Doctrine and Covenants 65:1-1a. Hearken, and lo, a voice of one sent down from on high, who is mighty and powerful, whose going forth is unto the ends of the earth, yea, whose voice is unto men. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his paths straight. So it gives us something to do, something to be a part of. I've made copies of these songs, and so I'm going through to find the next one that maybe I haven't mentioned. And I only got about another 35, 40 minutes. No, I promise you, I won't be that long. But hymn 448 has these words. I will, or has this scripture that goes, and 448 is I love to tell the story, and it says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works. Now hopefully our generation, my generation, to my children, I have praised his works. I hope I haven't failed you that way. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise the works to another, and shall declare the mighty acts. I will speak of thy glorious honor, of thy majesty, and of thy wonderful works. Wondrous work. Wow. It's so powerful. Another one, in fact, I talked to Eric a little bit about earlier this week when he called me. You know, we get so caught up in the way, if we listen to all this stuff that's going on in the world, it can be frustrating. And hymn number 162, now the words that came to me was, God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. And I'm thinking, and I go through the whole index of the hymnal trying to find those words, you know. Would you believe I Googled it? And the song, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, you know, and I wasn't looking in Christmas hymns, but how true those words are. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. I mean, isn't that the answer to our dilemma that we are in today? But You know, God has blessed us so tremendously. And there's been so many other people who have touched my life. And like I said, you know, I was in the foyer here not too long ago, a few months back. And Mary Sue, I've got it right, came and handed me a CD. I hadn't asked for no CD, but it was the CD, the choir CD that the choir made, and it has all the restoration hymns to there, which I love dearly. And I started using that when I go to bed at night. I'll put that on there because I had a terrible time sleeping for over the last year. I don't sleep very much at night. I sleep two or three times during the day. But what a blessing that was. And I never asked Mary Sue for it. I didn't even know you had it. But this is just little things like that that happen in your life that you aren't expecting that people do. And what a tremendous blessing. My message to you tonight, and believe me, this message was for Ray Wheeler, and I hope you listened some, because I get caught up in that woe is me, what's going to happen, I gathered to Zion 47 years ago, I think. And there was no doubt in my mind that we would long before now have Zion. And still, the way the world is changing and things, but then we have to come back and say, based on the experiences that I have and the word that's contained within these books, God is still in control. He is not dead, nor doth he sleep. And that's the message for us, that we need to remember, constantly remember, that God has each of us in the palm of his hand. And each of us is unique. Here I go on another sermon. But anyway, in my younger years, as I was growing up in the priesthood, Noni's dad being pastor most of that time, one of the missionaries would come to town, I would go with him. And I had this super desire that I wanted to be a missionary. I wanted to, but these guys could stand for, or sit for an hour or two quoting scripture and turning to scripture in their book. And I finally come to the realization, Hey, we're all different. There's no two of us that are exactly alike. And our calling as ministers, as part of his priesthood, for each of us is not all the same. I mean, we all reach and touch different people in our lives. And if we stand up here and speak, some of you may go away, and I've had that experience. I didn't get nothing out of it. And I said, wasn't that a fantastic sermon? Well, was it? But it touches each of us in a different way. And I hope at least one of you got the message. Praise God. And I thank God for each of you. And I pray that he will continue to bless you and your families. And thank you for not getting up and walking out on me.
Thank you, Ray. We appreciate you and your ministry. Would you turn to hymn 361, 361. We'll stand as we sing this, and Brother Mike Estel will bring our benediction.
Our kind and loving Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of our day, Father, we thank you for the Spirit which you've placed amongst us this day. We thank you, Father, for helping us to listen and hear your voice. We thank you for letting us hear your words, and we thank you for helping us to understand your message. And as we depart from this place, Father, we go boldly into the world. We ask that you would hold us tight in your hands, that we might leave footprints upon the souls of all those with whom we come in contact, that by those footprints, Father, we might lead them into your kingdom by sharing the gospel story. We pray, Father, that soon your kingdom might come here upon this earth, according to our faith, according to your will. We make this prayer in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.